But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on it were words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly with the scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray as we enter into hearing God's word now. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord, teach us now from this text. May we, each individually, may we take your word into our lives and let it settle into the very marrow of our being, that it may be for us sweet as honey, and that our lives would reflect your mercy, your love, your compassion, and your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if this thought has ever entered into your minds. The world that we live in these days is becoming increasingly more unfamiliar to me. Sure, I recognize the landscapes around me, the political landscapes or the physical landscapes. I recognize the trees and the hills and the rivers. But the cultural landscapes, the political landscapes, are sometimes almost unrecognizable to me. It's a strange day that we live in. And I don't have to remind you of the examples of this because they're all around us. You know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Our social connections are taking new forms. Our political culture is mystifying. The technology that is at our fingertips is increasing and developing at a rate that is hard to keep up with, and maybe we just give up trying. I mean, driverless cars are already here. Driverless cars. It's fascinating. And maybe in these unprecedented times, maybe that makes your heart race and you're thinking, yeah, bring it on, this is exciting. Or maybe you think to yourself, you know, that song title from the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album really is fitting to me. I just wasn't made for times like these. As much as we like to think that we can understand the world around us, all of us, especially those of us who watch the evening news or read the newspaper or peruse the internet news sites, we all agree this is a disorienting, difficult, even otherworldly time. I mean, we are living in unprecedented times. And maybe that's why our culture, maybe that's why our society has this sort of ongoing fascination with UFOs or with aliens. Because we all know that when the time comes, when that little green man is standing in front of us and he's pointing his ray gun at us, what is the thing that he's going to ask us to do? Take me to your leader. Right? Take me to your leader. Now, I promise we're going to get back to Ezekiel. I'm setting up this brief series. There was a time in the life of God's people, Israel, when their lives were disoriented as well. They couldn't tell which way was up and which way was down. And into these confused lives, God speaks words of comfort, words of hope. The word that comes to this young man, a man not much older than probably 30 years old, has an almost otherworldly character about it. But sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need to be startled. We need to be sort of jarred out of our ruts in order to hear the words that God wants to say to us, to have our minds awakened, to have our hopes rekindled, that there is a God in our lives and he is with us. In 593 BCE, 6 years after the Babylonian Empire had steamrolled through Jerusalem, destroying the city and capturing its people and taking them away to Babylon, God comes to this young man, Ezekiel. And God says, "You, Ezekiel, you are going to be my sentinel. You are going to be my mouthpiece. You are going to speak my word to my people." So throughout the month of August, we're going to be swept up into this dramatic book of the Bible, this dramatic text, Ezekiel. Now, if you've ever read Ezekiel, if you've ever kind of paged through it, there's you know, like something like 47 chapters. It's a long book. And if you've ever read it, you're maybe kind of groaning to yourself right now, like, "Oh, Ezekiel, really? It's weird, it's full of strange images and startling and confusing metaphors and apocalyptic messages. It's weird, it's different. Can't we just go back to Jesus?" Which is never a bad idea. It's always a good idea. But Ezekiel's a hard book. I'll admit it's a tough one. But I think if we open it, if we read Ezekiel together, and that's my challenge for you this August, is to read Ezekiel with me and read it together. But what we find in these visions that Ezekiel has is poignant wisdom for the people of Israel who are in a difficult spot, and also striking similarities to the world that we live in today. Ezekiel speaks to us as well. Now, like Ezekiel, we all, in a way, are aliens. The book of 1 Peter says that you are resident aliens, and that we are constantly living in a context. We're constantly living as people who don't quite fit with the world around them. And so is Ezekiel. He was living in Jerusalem at the beginning of the book and minding his own business, and he gets this call, and all of a sudden he is grabbed by the scruff of the neck and he's dragged 500 miles north to the capital city of the Babylonian Empire, surrounded by a people that he doesn't recognize, a culture that is foreign to him, and among a nation of people that don't particularly care about his faith, who don't know anything about the Israelite religion and don't particularly care either. They weren't going to ask Ezekiel, but you know what? We live in a day in which people aren't necessarily asking about our faith or our religion either. I remember when I was a youth minister in New Jersey, I would often bring donuts to my Sunday school classes that I would teach of teenagers. And I remember going into a Dunkin' Donuts one morning and standing there in line, and I was like, one of these things is not like the other, because here I am standing in a shirt and tie, and everybody else is in their sweats with their coffee and the New York Times crossword puzzle. And I'm like, man, And I think they looked at me like, what is this guy's deal? Like, does he not realize it's not Monday yet? You see, many have forgotten that Sundays are for anything other than coffee and crosswords and round of golf or getting ready for the afternoon football game. And the people around Ezekiel weren't terribly interested in his faith, in his worship either. His religious world was absolutely crumbling down around him when he gets this word after 5 years of being in Babylon that Jerusalem has been decimated. The home of his people, his home, the home of his faith, the holy place has been utterly decimated. And so now he's a part of a people who have no building, who have no budget, who have no programs. They have nothing left on which to stand. And yet, in the midst of the rubble of Ezekiel's life, God chooses to speak a word. God's word invites this community of exiles, people living in a foreign land, to live unconventionally in an otherworldly context. And this is the way that we're invited to live also. It doesn't take a great imaginative leap to recognize that we're a lot like the exiled Israelites, foreigners in a strange land. Even though this is our home, sometimes it feels like we are foreigners in our own home. But then God's word comes to Ezekiel, and it comes to us, and it invites us to imagine new possibilities for life together. It invites us to sanctify our imaginations apart from the things that we used to take for granted. You are a community. This community is a community that has a deep and a rich history, and it knows that God has a great vision for the city of Wabash. So what is it going to look like? Well, this morning's vision that Ezekiel receives, that Jonathan read for us, this morning's metaphor, this morning's vision is that of a scroll. And in this vision, the voice says to Ezekiel, don't be like that rebellious house of Israel who chooses to close their ears, but open yourself to this word, this scroll that I am giving to you. And the book says, Ezekiel says, so I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. He said, son of man, eat this scroll that I am going to give you and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and my mouth was as sweet as honey. This is what I believe this text is teaching us this morning. One word, empathy. In the midst of difficult time for the people around him, Ezekiel could have been drawn into the despair. He could have been drawn into the sadness and allowed his life to come crumbling down as well. He could have been drawn into his own little pity party or his own feeling of woe is me. He had just as many reasons as those around him to be bitter and downcast. But for the scroll, but for this word. When God's word came to him, it was in the form of a scroll, and it says that he ate it, and as he did, his mouth was filled with the taste sweet of honey. And when he eats, when Ezekiel eats this scroll, he no longer suffers from the sort of short-sighted despair of his situation. See, he was given the sweetness, God's gift of renewed hope. And that gave him reason and confidence to empathize with those around him, to share the burdens, to be compassionate to those around him. His eyes weren't fixated on the dust and the dirt of his own situation, but they had been lifted. To a new context. Even in this captivity, even in this time of exile, even in this confusing place, Ezekiel and Israel are a part of something bigger. They're part of a bigger narrative, a bigger story that's unfolding before them. And here is this powerful truth for us, that while our experience, yours and mine, we may not be going through this despair, we may not feel like our world is crumbling around us, but chances are, there's a great possibility that the people that we are sent, to whom we are sent, may be experiencing what Israel is experiencing. Before you go to the people around you, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, I don't want you just to know what they're going through, God says, but I want you to feel what they are feeling. This word, empathy, it's a compound word, a Greek word, the two words are empathema, and it just means in suffering. When you take within yourself the suffering of someone else, that is where God's work of redemption, of care, of compassion begins to work. And this was the beginning point for this young prophet Ezekiel. You see, the people of Israel had forgotten. They'd forgotten the story. They'd forgotten what it means to worship a God who loves them, who wants to bless them. And it's to that group of people that Ezekiel was called to minister. God did something similar in another priest, in training. In Belgium in the 1860s, there was a young man who was just graduating from his training, and he was getting ready to be sent to his first call. His name was Damien. And Damien's first call, pretty sweet gig, to Hawaii. I mean, if I'm living in Belgium and somebody tells me, you got to go to Hawaii, I'm like, twist my arm. But Damien is called to Hawaii, and he's called to oversee a number of the districts in Hawaii, including the island of Molokai. And if you know the story, you know that the island of Molokai was a settlement for the people in Hawaii who lived with a condition of Hansen's disease, otherwise known as leprosy. And when Damien was ordained in Hawaii, he asked himself, where can I go and what can I do that will most disclose the heart of my Savior Jesus to the people? And then the answer came to him, Molokai. And so he joined this leper colony. He built their homes. He dressed their wounds. He cared for their spirit. Led them in worship. There was no physician on the island. There was only a priest. He built their coffins. He dug their graves. He cared with them as they died. And he knew that the one thing that he couldn't do, the one thing that he wasn't supposed to do, was touch them. But Damien worshipped a Savior who made it a practice of touching those who were untouchable, caring for those who were outcast. And so he couldn't help himself. Until one day, the most poignant day of his ministry, where Father Damien stands before his congregation of lepers and addresses them as we lepers. You see, he had touched them, and he had taken on their suffering. Because he had joined them, he had stepped into their pain, and their pain was now his pain. And in him, they could now see the heart of God as he revealed himself through Father Damien's empathy. There's hope in the pages of this book. There's hope for us if we will take these words, take them into our lives, into our hearts, into the marrow of our being, to digest them and their meaning. And the one thing is for certain, it will transform your vantage point. But like Ezekiel, it will also sweep you out of your context, out of your self-focused context, and it will allow you to see as others see. You will not only find hope for your life, but you will find deep cisterns of empathy and compassion for the difficulties of others. As Paul says in Romans 12, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. This was his mandate, and it's ours as well, as we bear witness to Jesus Christ as resident aliens living uncommon lives in otherworldly times. Let's pray together. Loving God, I pray that you would give us the courage to honestly and openly come to your word and to receive its message in all its facets, to allow it to sink down into our lives and so be changed. Lord, as we look at these challenging texts throughout the next month, in the book of Ezekiel. Lord, may your word, may it nourish us, may it guide us, may it point us to everlasting hope. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.